A staggering number of Australians have been a victim of the phenomenon known as revenge porn. Surveys reveal that as many as one in five people have experienced some form of image-based abuse. That means the taking, threatening to share, or sharing nude or semi-nude images without a person's consent. All this week on The World Today, we're talking about sexting and revenge porn, where the problems lie and the legal scramble to respond. Today, we'll hear the story of one woman who was blackmailed by a partner and why she didn't report it. Angela Lavoie-Pierre compiled this report.
I have done a lot of sexting. I received a lot of dick pics. I've been on the Snapchat, which until this morning I assumed it was only for dick pics. I've sent nudes. I've let guys take photos of me.
25-year-old Amy Danger started sending and receiving nudes 6 years ago when she was 19. Her experiences have been mixed, to say the least.
Had one guy who he would ask for them, and that's kind of when I started doing it, but I would never show my face and I would be wearing underwear because that's what I was comfortable in. I do know that he showed his friends, and that was kind of before I was quite comfortable with my sexuality.
And that's not the worst thing that's happened to her.
There was another guy who I didn't send photos of, but he got me in a compromising position and he blackmailed me using them. So he was like, if you don't do this for me, I'm going to send these photos to your parents, who he stole their numbers off my phone while my bag was at uni.
What was that like?
It was horrible. It was horrific. I had no control over what I wanted.
Recent surveys reveal thousands of Australians have found themselves in a similar position. Associate Professor Nicola Henry from RMIT has conducted the most authoritative research on the prevalence of revenge porn, also known as image-based abuse, in Australia.
The most recent study that we conducted was in 2016. We found that one in five of our respondents, so over 4,000 respondents that we conducted the survey with, had experienced at least one form of image-based abuse. And we define image-based abuse as including either the non-consensual taking or creation of nude or sexual images. We found that one in five had experienced that. Second was the non-consensual sharing or distribution of nude or sexual images, and we found that one in 10 had experienced that. And thirdly was the making of threats to share nude or sexual images, and we found that just under 1 in 10 had experienced that.
And those figures are likely, if anything, to be conservative.
People may not be aware that someone is taking an image of them. They may not be aware that someone is actually sharing those images amongst, in an online context or mobile phone or email or whatever the method might be. So that just is a bit scary, I think.
The term itself is deceptive. The reasons that people take or share images without consent vary wildly.
Not all people are doing this out of motivations of revenge or intention to cause distress or harm. They may be sharing the images, for instance, on online closed communities, on social media and other platforms in order to impress their friends, in order to receive sexual gratification. Some people are even selling these images on the dark web or on other sites.
In Victoria, specific revenge porn laws have been in place since 2015. But so far, Dr. Henry says, they haven't had much of a workout.
So in total, there have been about just over 290 arrests or summons for either of those three offences. That's less than 30 for upskirting, 167 for non-consensual distribution of intimate images, and 96 for making threats to share those images.
So are those figures on the low side?
I think they're on the low side, given what we know about the prevalence.
What do you put it down to?
I put it down to a number of different things. One is that people may be unaware of the laws. There was no kind of public education campaign that accompanied the introduction of those new laws.
Dr. Nicola Henry explains there isn't one reason for the underreporting of revenge porn.
Victim blaming reasons, they're concerned that they'll be blamed, particularly in relation to image-based abuse, that they'll be blamed for having taken a nude or a sexual image of themselves and sharing it or letting someone else take those images. They may not want to go to the police station for fear that, you know, police will have to see the images themselves. Maybe their phone might be confiscated or their computer.
It didn't occur to Amy Danger to go to police when she was threatened.
Oh, God, no. So at the time, I still feel about this way. It's like, that's my body. Like, That's not me with clothes on. That is completely my body, and that's probably one of the most personal things that I have. I think it just felt like a continuous violation. You know, not only does he have pictures of my body, but then I've got to show police pictures of my body, then I've got to show lawyers pictures of my body. Like, all of a sudden, my naked body doesn't belong to me anymore.
Even with another 6 years' life experience, the answer is the same.
I don't think I would have done anything differently. I've thought about it for years, because, I mean, obviously I'm in my mid-20s now. This happened when I was a teenager. I've thought about it. I kind of did the best I could with what I had. If it happened again, I actually still don't know if I'd report it to the police.
Despite all of it, Amy Danger still swaps nudes and sexts and has no plans to stop. She says she's determined not to let revenge porn ruin what she sees ultimately as an empowering act.
I mean, there is that thing in the back of my mind, but it has been like a growing and learning experience from it. I think it's positive, and I think we should stop making women, because it's still that same. We're still making women feel ashamed of wanting sex. So, you know, coming out and being like, I do like sexting. I love sexting sometimes.
Sexting enthusiast Amy Danger. Angela Lavoie-Pierre with that report.